Where do I go when I die? This is Dr. Herbert L. Bowerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. Where do I go when I die? This is a question that all of us ask ourselves from time to time. We don't really worry about it too much because none of us are really totally sure where we go when we die. We're not sure that if we die, we go on with our life. If we die, we end all life. If we die, we move to another dimension. If we die, we leave our body behind. If we die, we take our body with us. Very few of us believe that if we die, we take our body with us. We are not aware of the master consciousness that take their body with them. Although this is not an impossibility, it's quite normal, quite ordinary, and it is done. A master consciousness does not have people who possess him on this level of consciousness. People who feel that he is important or wonderful, oh, they know the master consciousness, and yet the master consciousness can go away and do things and can move away, like the perfect marriage. The ideal marriage where a husband or wife are living together and enjoying one another's company, and the husband says, oh, I think I'll take off for a year or so, and I'm going to just take off. And the wife says, well, have a wonderful time. No possession, no saying, well, you're earning the wages for us, you're doing this, you're doing that. All will be in divine order. All will be in divine order, the wife says. And the man takes off and is gone for a year or so, and then comes back and says, hi, sweetheart. And she says, hi, love. Did you have a wonderful time? Or she doesn't even ask if you had a wonderful time. She just says, I'm glad to see you. And no possession. Now, if he never came back, she would always love him. She would always be happy about him. But she would not be worried about him. She's not possessed by him. And the vice versa. If she went away and said, I'll be gone for a while, or not even saying I'll be gone for just be missing. Be missing. And would he report her as a missing person? Would he report her as someone who's gone and not returned? Could she take off and go someplace or go any place or go no place and just not tell anybody anything about it and not have the world worry? That's truly unpossession. And it's not really a normal human thing, because humans worry about other humans. Humans are possessed by other humans. Now, if your child says, okay, Mommy, I'm off to see the world, and Mommy says, what, you're only 16, oh, that's the way it is, or you're 18, or you're 20, or you're 21, or you're 30, or you're 35, and when they go, they just say, okay, see you, and the mother says, well, okay, another one has left the nest. And if the mother can truly be non-possessed by that child can go off and do wonderful things and have a wonderful life, maybe corresponding, maybe telephoning in some way, or writing, or whatever, or thinking about the parent. But the thing is, it's a time to go. And under circumstances like that, we can release them. And as we release them, once they're gone out of our sight, out of our attention, they could be dead. They could be alive. They could be anywhere and everywhere. And we have no concern about them because we have released them. The ability to release people, to release ourselves even, is the first step to being born. Because we think that it's the first step, perhaps, to being able to die. But death is just being born. You are born when you are unpossessed. Before you are born, you are unpossessed. Before your thought in your parents' eye, in your parents' mind, you are unpossessed. And then they become more and more possessed as they desire and look forward to the possibility of the bundle of joy. Every child is called a bundle of joy. Isn't that a wonderful way to refer to a child? Well now, when a child reaches the age of being ready to go off on their own, well, we say, how's my little bundle of joy going to do today? And we say, now you're a man, now you're a woman, now you're ready to go and see the world and make the world into a better place and just take your place in the world. And the child, in all wisdom, might say to themselves, not to their parents, but Mom, I'm not interested in making the world a better place. I'm just interested in being myself and having fun. And the parent would say, haven't we taught you anything? Haven't we taught you civic responsibility? Haven't we taught you responsibility as a human being, as an interrelated person? And the child would, of course, have an answer for that, too. But, you see, death is not necessarily that we leave this body behind or that we take it with us. Death is when we close off the old relationships, we close off all those possessions that we may have had, we close off those times in our life where we are owned by somebody else or own others, and we feel a responsibility. Responsibility is truly death, because you die to the opportunity to grow and expand. And you say, well, everyone should be responsible. Everyone should be responsible for their own life and their own world, and everyone should be responsible for the things that take place in the world. Everyone should be a responsible person. Well, is that really what we mean? Do we really mean that we are responsible? Or do we really mean that we have the opportunity to go and live our life in whatever way we choose and be beautiful, uplifted, wonderful souls, unpossessed by the world around us, unpossessed by the people in our world, unpossessed by anything that exists? Most marriages end up in divorce. I don't want to say most, half the marriages end up in divorce that we know about in the United States here, and perhaps the rest of the world is similar. But why is it that they want to separate? And the reason they want to separate is they get tired of being possessed, or they get tired of possessing, or they get tired of responsibility, they get tired of ownership, they get tired of feeling that they have to raise a family, that they have to do these things. And they say bachelors and bachelorettes have the most fun. They are the people who are out doing their own thing in their own way and not having responsibilities, not feeling they have to repopulate the world, not feeling that they have to do these things. Well, you know, that perhaps is just a little difference between the general mammals and humanity and mankind. Mankind has the ability to not be possessed by raising children, not be possessed by having families, or being possessed as they wish. If they wish to do that, they can be, and if they don't wish to do that, they can be. It's all a matter of their choice. Animals have instinctual choices that they have to respond to, they have to take over as. And these instinctual choices make demands upon them. If they themselves cannot have offspring, they go and take care of somebody else's offspring. This is oftentimes the case. And this is the case in many of the monkey worlds, in the chimpanzee worlds and things like that, where if they don't have offspring of their own, they become the nanny for the offspring of others. Possession, ah yes, possession. When we die, have we been possessed that people wonder where we are, or that they have to bury us, or they have to cremate us, or they have to see our body to know that we are dead? Many parents take the child in to see the father or mother who has died to show them that they have died, and then they can release them, they say. Then they can release that loved one that who is now gone away, is gone out of their sight and out of their world. But truly, if we never saw a dead person, if we never saw a dead object, we would not be possessed by seeing death. We want to always proclaim that death is the cessation of a physical object from performing. Whether it's an animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever it might be, it's no longer doing what it's normally doing. And what is normally doing? Normally doing should be being ourselves and having fun. Normally doing is enjoying the things that we do so completely and so wonderfully that everywhere we go, we feel content, we feel happy, we feel fulfilled. And every life we touch is a life that is a little more glorious, a little more wonderful because we touch them, not because we own them, not because we are necessary to them, but we just touch them. You had an inspiration, you had an OIC experience. Oh, I see, I understand. And that OIC experience is being touched. And when you're touched by that such an experience, how are you touched? Are you touched in a way that says that you are enjoying it? That you want to have it again and again? And when you fall in love with someone, does it mean that you should marry them or that you should be with them at all times? To fall in love is to have an OIC experience. It's to have an awareness experience of a goodness, of a grand feeling about that circumstance. And also, it has the ability to release it. To release it. Can you fall in love with someone else's mate? Sure you can. But do you have to have a relationship with them? No. You can fall in love with them because you respect them, you honor them, you delight in them. And you know you do not want them to be your possessed, your one and only. You want them only to be a part of your life, a part of your world. And that part can be a mental part for just a moment. To have just a moment that you have that vision inside of yourself that something beautiful has happened. Everyone in the world has these experiences, and they have them often. They fall in love with life. They fall in love with people. They fall in love with their teacher. They fall in love with their neighbor, their friends, their world around them. And this falling in love is really the awakening of life within each one of us. But the moment we put possession alongside of falling in love, then we have died. Then we have died as truly as if we were to leave our body. We have died because we no longer can have the universal benefit of that and other loves that will come our way. And we have no longer the opportunity to be the universal being that we are. We have no longer the opportunity to love universally, unconditionally, all of the world. Love does not have to be a sexual thing. Sex is what we call love, and we've done a very unfortunate thing by doing that, because we have limited love and we have limited sex. Sex is whatever it is to be, wherever it is to be, however it is to be, under whatever conditions it is to be. Love is a universal condition. Love is that good feeling. Love is that good delightfulness. As they say, the preamble to a sexual experience is more beautiful than the experience itself. And you say, oh, really? I don't know about that. Well, if you really think about it, you really realize that that is so. To live in a world in which we are unconditionally loving, in which we are loving of everyone and everything and every circumstance, there we have the absolute recognition of the highest and best. Can you be an unconditionally loving being? Can you be an unconditionally loving person who delights in everything you do? Can you? And the answer is, of course, yes, you can. Now, do you want to be? Do you want to be an unconditionally loving person? Do you want to live forever? Do you want to have a life that is immortal? Well, if you have possession, and possession of any depth, any measure at all is possession. If you have possession, you have just taken yourself out of the game of immortality. You've taken yourself out of the game of eternal life. You've taken yourself out of the game of living as the ideal being. And we can all live as the ideal being as we teach ourselves how to release possession, starting with possessing ourselves, possessing our body. This is our body, but it's a universal body. It's made out of universal substance. This is our mind, but it's the universal mind that we're talking about. If we're talking about the brain, then we're talking about the individual brain, but that too is a concept of a universal being. The more we can train ourselves to be universal, the more we can train ourselves in preparation for life immortal. Being aware of our immortal life, being aware of our eternal life. What does it mean to die? It's a good question, isn't it? Where do I go when I die? Well, when you apparently die, you move into other dimensions of life and time and space. But in reality, you never go anywhere. You always stay right where you are in the limited or unlimited aspect of who you are. So, where do you go when you die? Where do I go when I die? I don't go anywhere. I live eternally, and I continue having grand and glorious experiences because life is an immortal experience. Life is an eternal experience. Life is a forever experience. And I am ready for that life right now. How about you? Are you ready for that life right now? Well, all you want to do is just claim it. Just claim it, and then you truly will enjoy it. Join me in this life eternal now, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.